Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. If you know the show Transparent, you probably remember this key scene involving Leslie Mackinaw and Allie, the youngest daughter of the Pfefferman family.
Leslie, your name is so familiar.
Did I read you in undergrad? Is that right? Or you're a poet?
I am indeed.
Yeah. Oh, you're great.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I thought Leslie would be the perfect person for you to learn something about women's studies.
I'm afraid you have to go someplace else for that. Woman is a dirty word around here. I am a highly placed staff member in the newly named Gender Studies Department.
Poet and writer Eileen Miles is the inspiration for Leslie. Miles, who goes by the pronoun they, uses language in their latest work to help deal with the loss of a beloved family member, a pit bull named Rosie. Miles is a native of Arlington whose new book is titled Afterglow, a dog memoir. They're set to speak at the Boston Book Festival this weekend, and Miles joins us in studio. Thanks for being with us.
Hi. How you doing, Deb?
Okay, how are you?
I'm good.
Let's start with your latest book, with Afterglow. It's about the death of your dog, Rosie. Now, I'm a dog lover. I'm afraid of anything ever happening to my dog. I just want to get that out there.
Right, right.
As many of us probably are. But tell us a little bit about why you decided to write this book. And a little bit about Rosie.
Uh-huh. I decided to write it because that's what I do. I feel like when my response, I'm a writer, I'm a poet, my response to being kind of is when something is important and something is right there in front of me, my response is to write about it. And so Rosie started dying when I was teaching college in San Diego in 2006. I had her for 16, almost 17 years. And so I started sort of litanizing the absolute details of her dying. I wanted to show that picture. I didn't know where it was going, but, you know, it became something. It became a book.
And you said that the book was a way for you to keep talking to Rosie, right?
Sure. I mean, I think the thing that's interesting about a relationship with an animal or a human is that we start to have nicknames, we start to have language, we start to live in a separate world in a way that's kind of a bubble inside of the world. So I still had that, you know, I still had her in my head when she was gone. And so I started to create kind of games, which I think writing a book is. It's just a series of diversions so that the writer will trick themselves into keeping writing. And so I made a pile of those, which were, you know, involving puppets, involving, you know, tapestries and monasteries in Ireland and my family and my dad. My dad was a mailman in Harvard Square. And he was great, and he got me a dog when I was a child. And when he died quite young in his life, young in mine. And when I first got this dog, this pit bull, I looked in her eyes, and I was like, it's my dad. It's totally my dad. And he was a man who would come again to be my dog. And so the book has a chapter, My Father Came Again as a Dog. So it's the reality of knowing a dog, having a dog, loving a dog, and also just all the riffing you do when the dog is living and after the dog is gone.
You know, the book opens with a cease and desist letter almost,
uh-huh,
right? I mean,
uh-huh.
So from Rosie's lawyer,
yeah,
while Rosie is still alive. Could you read a portion of that?
Sure. I mean, dogs have complaints. I want to say that. Yeah, I got this in the mail, and it began the book more or less. Dear Eileen, I take the liberty of calling you Eileen to begin the unpleasant duty of forcing you to legally take responsibility for the damages you have inflicted over a period of 9 years upon the being you have taken to calling Rosie. I am Rosie's lawyer. Dog lawyers have only become possible in recent years, even months. Which is not to say crimes of all kind against dogs are new in any way. Crimes against dogs are ancient and widespread, but dogs having the wherewithal to attain legal representation is new indeed.
And why did you decide to open your book this way?
Because in a way, this letter was the puzzle of the book. You know, I think you write books in bits and pieces, and I wrote this when the dog was well and alive, but probably had lots of complaints. I mean, as a dog owner, you're always kind of not giving them as many good walks, especially if you live in the city, as you should. And so you kind of walk with this burden of guilt as well as this burden of love. And so it was very easy to imagine receiving a letter one day from her lawyer. And so I wrote the letter long before she died, before the book was an idea. And then once I started writing the book, I thought, where does the letter go? Where does the letter go? And finally, I thought, it goes right in the front, and it comes in the mail.
Is the writing process typically like that for you? Do you have sort of all of these different kinds of things and then try to figure out exactly how to place them, or was this a different way of writing for
you? It was different because I feel like every relationship and every book is different. Every book tour is different. You know, you always think you know something because you have experience, and the only thing you know is that experience is always different.
Right.
So this was unique. Yeah.
You also write in the book that when you talk about taking care of Rosie and how difficult that was, but still something that you enjoy, seem to enjoy sometimes.
Sure.
But you knew that Rosie was so sick that you were going to have to do something, and folks told you, you'll know when it's time.
Exactly. That's what they do. They say that, and you're like, how will I know? And then you know. Then you know. But even then, because we have the power of euthanasia over our dogs, because it's legal, nobody minds putting a dog down, you still have a little feeling where, was that the right time? Should I have waited longer? You know, so there's still kind of an agony about it, because it's about letting go and also having a kind of mastery that seems maybe wrong in some way. Because it's still life.
Yeah. What is it about people and dogs?
I think they came to us. They saw a good deal. There was a pile of garbage outside the city, and certain wolves started to feed off the garbage. And then some of them said, you know, there's more inside, but you have to put up with them. And that's dogs.
You know, pit bulls, though, they get a bad rap sometimes.
They're the racially profiled dogs, I should say.
In Massachusetts, there was just a horrible incident up in Lowell where a 7-year-old boy was mauled to death. And now they're talking again about having a law that would ban pit bulls, a law that was taken away because it was racially profiling pit bulls, if you will. I mean, what do you say to folks who are afraid of that breed?
Well, because breeds have changed. I've been told that in Scotland, the collie used to be the dog of the ghetto. That, you know, there was public housing. There were poor people there. They had collies, killer collies. You know, I think the dog changes from time to time. It used to be Rottweilers. It used to be German Shepherds. You know, dogs get bad reputations. Pit bulls are strong and they're loyal, and they're animals. And so there are certainly good ones and there are certainly bad ones. But I think it's insane to stigmatize a breed and say. I think we could have heard the same story about another dog and they wouldn't have said anything about what the dog. In the article, it might say it was a golden retriever. I was attacked brutally by a golden retriever on Christmas Day in the 90s out of the blue. I was just trying to get the dog, which was part of my girlfriend's extended family, out of the driveway. And as a dog person, I said, look, I'll get the dog out. And the dog laid into me, tore into both my wrists. I spent Christmas Day, you know, and the story is that apparently goldens in old age go crazy quite frequently, you know, and lots of dog people know that. So, you know, I think by extension, there's a racism in there, you know.
Well, Arlington native Eileen Miles, she's an author and a poet who now lives in New York City and Texas. They're in town for this weekend's Boston Book Festival, and Eileen will be presenting at 11:30 tomorrow at the book festival. Thanks so much for coming in.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
That's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.